You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in the ministry to compete, you are in the ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well. In the name of Jesus. One minute, I'd like you to lift your hands to God and say, Father, thank you. I'd like you to bless him from the depths of your heart. Give him praise. Just bless him. Give God amazing praise. Just bless him. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' powerful name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Alright, God bless you. You may please be seated. Thank you. God bless you, Jesus. Bakatuo, Bakachi, Coaching Kafama, Bakasum, Ardekokuma, Bakasamsam. Segodia kakaso Segodia Yesu. She's in Kawo. She's in Kawo Maka. She's in Kawo Maka Lele. Nabakatuo Bakachi Kochinka Fema Bakaso Arte Kokuma Bakasamsam. Segodia kakeso, Segodia Yesu. She's in Kamo, she's in Kamo Maka, she's in Kamo Maka. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good evening, church. Amen. All right. So, I have a very delicate subject matter to handle. Very delicate one. So, amen. Don't worry, it's not coronavirus. It's just cough. Amen. cannot quarrel now. Cannot quarrel anything here. Amen. All right. So, I have a very delicate issue to handle. Amen. And I pray that God will help your mind. Say amen to that. He will help your hearts. Say amen to that. So that you will be able to grasp and understand well. This should have been a course for students in Bible school. Amen. But I'll teach it anyway. So pay attention. If you ever have to go to Bible school, one of the courses you will have to do is demonology. Alright? That's the study of demons, their origins, their activities, their mode of operation. Amen. And so today I'll be teaching about knowing the spiritual anatomy of the devil. Or if it sounds too ambiguous, you can call it knowing your heart. Alright, amen. Please help. You can call it knowing your enemy. So, knowing the spiritual anatomy of the devil. Please, you will have to pay attention. I'm going to be diverting into many things that are very important. I'll be branching a lot of branching. I'll be going into chronology, many things. So you have to pay keen attention. Alright, and God will strengthen us in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for your people. I bless their hearts and minds, that they are opened to receive your word in the name of Jesus. I ask that you grant them revelation, that their eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Alright, I sense strongly in my spirit that you should check the recording that you are having again. Do that. Amen. Alright, turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Ezekiel chapter number 28. Ezekiel chapter number 28. Ezekiel 28. If you are there, say amen. Alright, I will wait for those who need to be there. Ezekiel chapter number 28. If you are there now, say amen. Alright, good. I start the reading from verse 1. So, this scripture, please look up before we read this scripture. In the book of Exodus chapter number 19, God was speaking to the Israelites. God was speaking to them about they consecrating themselves, because God wants to reveal himself as the only God. One of the reasons why a generation can be exposed to revelation of God, but not the power dimension, is when we leave. Amen. Alright, after now, you guys will go on marathon fast if this thing should disturb. Sounds are important. One of the major revelations of God that this generation has forgotten is the revelation of God as the only God. God is holy, even in his grace. That is why those who toy with sin, they are less potent. They are always powerless. Check believers who play with sin, they lack power. All right? Even when they may function in gift, it weakens them. Because the labor of a fool wearies them. Alright? Let me tell you something. Don't let anybody's teaching on the subject of grace collect the revelation of God as holy from you. Alright? The sum total of his nature is that he's holy. Simple. God is holy. Amen?
So when God was describing himself to the Israelites in Exodus 19, he describes his saving grace as the one who brought them out of Egypt on the wings of an eagle. For instance, Jesus was described as the lion of the tribe of Judah. You will never see scriptures where God described himself as a frog. You will never see scriptures where God described himself as a serpent. You will never see scriptures where God described himself as a goat. He described himself as, you know, using comparison of animals that are in the peak of oppression. For instance, the Holy Ghost is likened to a dove. Because doves are very loyal birds. And they are very peaceful. But they are stronger than you think. He describes that to indicate his mannerism. In the book of Luke chapter number 3, Matthew chapter number 3 also, while Jesus was baptized by John in the river of Jordan, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. The Holy Ghost is not a dove. But he came like a goat. A dove, meaning that he came gently. So, why am I putting that building block? Because in this book of Ezekiel 28, when the Bible is going to describe the person of the devil, it was a parable about the person of the devil. But he likened him to the prince of Tyre. And that's where we're going to. So meaning that for us to understand the devil, we have to understand this nation called Tyre. Please pay attention. So, Ezekiel 28. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, Thus says the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. See that God is capital G-O-D. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. So, like I said, I will have to branch. And when I branch, I will have to give you quotes with which you can understand various books in the Bible. Because you are not a Bible student because you read the Bible. You are a student because you understand what you read. Because a layman will read the scripture ordinarily, but yet there are depths of realities to get here. So, number one, you will notice that the scripture said the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. That is the same word you will find used in very rare scriptures. You find that word in Ezekiel 37 from verse 1. Since the hand of the Lord was upon me. So whenever you hear the Bible, you see the Bible describe the hand of the Lord in the Old Testament. The Bible is describing the Holy Ghost as the hand of the Lord. We are leaving that aside. So this is God the Father saying unto him, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, Thus says the Lord, because your heart is lifted up. This looks like the scripture we read 2 Sundays ago. Alright? And then you say in your heart that I am God. But tell him, you are as ordinary as a man. You are no God. But the Bible went on to say in verse 3, Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, and there was no secret that they can hide from thee. Alright? Of course, if your heart is very inquisitive, you will understand that according to this scripture, the book of Daniel ought to come before the book of Ezekiel, because Daniel existed before Ezekiel. Amen? Please, we're going somewhere. Another thing to note from this scripture is that according to God, the wisest man in the Old Testament is not Solomon. The wisest man was Daniel. In the entire scripture, Christ is the wisdom of God. But in the Old Testament, none is as wise as Daniel. And you see, if you look at the life of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you see two categories of strong men that exist in every generation. There are those that are emerge from revelation. There are those that will rise because others rose. Another man like Daniel was the man Caleb. Caleb had spent no time really with Moses, but the Bible said there was another spirit in him. So when he went to spy the land, he said, not Joshua, Caleb was the one who said, these ones are nothing but grasshoppers in our sight. We are going to bring them down. He said it. Meaning that God places value on men who will rise by revelation first. Please pay attention. Just follow me keenly. But I'd like us to do small investigation about this fire. Alright, let me give you a few scriptures you want to write down. It will bless your heart. Alright, Joshua 9 from verse 25 to 20. Joshua 19 from verse 25 to 29. Alright, I'm going to summarize those things of my time. 2 Samuel 5 from verse 10 to 12. 2 Samuel 24 from verse 5 to 8. Alright, it was so serious that even Jesus had to speak about fire. For instance, in Matthew 11 verse 21, Jesus speaking there said, you are there, say amen. Who are the technical people? Can you help me some? Oh God. When you are behind a sound, you don't sleep. You pay attention to every slightest thing. So you have to stand while I teach. Stand. Hallelujah. Amen. He was calling you in the spirit realm, but you didn't hear. Take. Amen. One of the most important lessons we must teach a generation is for them not to sleep. It is when men sleep that the enemy will sow tears in the midst of wheat. It was while the virgin slept that the bridegroom came. If you sleep, you will miss rapture. That's just on a lighter note. Okay. Jesus speaking in Matthew 11 verse 21 said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethesda. For if the mighty work which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long in sackcloth and ashes." In verse 22 he said, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." But if you look at the scriptures I gave to you, you would not expect a land like Tyre to go down the drain. When David was about to build the house of God, they were the first set of people that offered to help him. They supplied him with every kind of wood that he used for God's house. When Solomon was about to build also, this same land was the land that offered help, massive help. Solomon was so impressed that he gave them 12 cities in Galilee. Gave them. And when the king was called Hiram, when he came to look at the city Solomon gave to them, 12 cities, the Bible said he was greatly displeased within him. We're going somewhere. Everywhere you see the word, amen. Some people are going too fast. Amen. Everywhere you see the Bible mentioned that word Tyre, it was referring to industrialization, merchandise, a marketable community full of splendor. Most of the skillful men as of that time were in Tyre. No one would want to build any mighty edifice without consulting them. But the time came, the prince of that land lifted his heart, looking at the abundance of what he has. And he lifted up his heart and he reminded God of what the devil did. That was why this book was written. As a matter of fact, Joel caught a prophecy about him. And he said the nations of the earth had fornicated with thee. Meaning that Tyre is a kind of land that offers to help you but collect what is bigger than the help from you. For instance, the book of Revelation describes the present day America as Babylon the Great. And it said Babylon is falling. It was a prophecy showing the church that America will fall from world power. He said, with thee the kings of the earth has committed whoredom. That is the reality of the present day politics. For these nations to balance their economic power, they have to sweep many things under the carpet. They need to shed blood. I'm not coming to talk about the spiritual aspect of governance. But if you will not understand the reason why these nations protect their secret, because there are so many things there hidden under the carpet. You know, while I was praying about coronavirus, God reminded me and God said, son, before you pray, have you noticed that since this started, there has been no terrorism attack all over the world? That I've kept all those behind it busy. So a nation like America can order the death of a man like Gaddafi in Libya just so they can be in charge of their oil well. But they have to manipulate the people and sell their leaders to them in a bad light. It is called divide and rule system. That was the method of Tyre. So by dividing across the world and ruling, they amassed so much wealth, so much that the king started looking at himself as God. And this is exactly what a proud man does. Whenever a man lifts up his heart in pride, he reminds God of the devil. That's why pride is what makes God resist a man. Now, I want to show you something in verse 2. He said, the son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, and I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. In the midst of the sea. The word sea there describes nations. And that's the same word you find in the Revelation 34 verse 1. He said, I beheld and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. The word beast there describes the Antichrist. Meaning that it will come from the midst of the people. The Antichrist will not come from heaven. It will come from the people. So you sit in the sea. Yet thou art a man and not God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. So you have to underline that. One of the major components of the devil is wisdom. The devil is wise. For the sake of balance, for those who will not pay attention later, the only difference between his wisdom and the wisdom that comes from God is that his wisdom is corrupted. But in that corruption, it is very great. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Meaning that man is naked before the devil. He knows them. He knows the weakness of men. He's not omnipresent, but through his wisdom, through his experience, he knows things. And that's why you cannot deceive God. You cannot deceive. You may deceive yourself, but you can't deceive your enemy, the devil. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten the riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches. The word traffic there means people patronize you a lot. One of the most patronized nations in the world is Dubai. They get visitors from all over. Center of merchandise. What you don't know is that most of these nations built their riches on countless number of blood they shed, so that many secrets can be buried, so they can be on top. The kind of race men run to be above each other is beyond what you can describe. Please pay attention. By thy traffic, meaning that people patronize you a lot, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because thou hast set your heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon you. The terrible of the nations, as they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness, that is your brightness. They shall bring you down to the pit, and thou shalt pay the debt of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. Will thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, meaning that the sum total of what the Bible said there is that Eden did not start with Adam and Eve. Eden is where God is. Eden is where God is. Eden is where his glory radiates. How do I help you to understand? Amen. Now look up. When Adam and Eve fell in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible said God placed cherubims with a flaming sword to protect Eden. But you didn't pay attention, because Eden is still not being protected. Eden has been opened up. And let me show you. Turn your Bibles with me quickly to the book of John. We're going somewhere. Just right, mark that and put your book stopper there, and then journey quickly to the book of John with me. We'll be knitting all this together. If you are there, say amen. All right, let's go to John chapter number 19. John 19.
All right. I'll start the reading from verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. And they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, and broke not his legs. Alright? And then soldiers were convinced, they knew some things began to happen. Alright, the place is short there, and then blood came and water came forth, meaning that they had been separated. Alright? So, look up. But Jesus did something in this scripture. The moment he took the vinegar, he was thirsty, but an alcohol was given to him. When he took it up, the Bible said he bowed his head and said, "It is finished." What finished? The demarcation between God and man finished. Man's, please hold on. Hold on. Man's lack of access to enter into the spirit realm finished. From the days of Adam, all that men could do was that the Holy Ghost would come upon them once in a while and it would be lifted. There were only few men that broke the order: Elijah, Enoch, and Moses. And this is why these men are no ordinary men. These are elders in their stature. So no man could access the spirit realm and say, "I am a spiritual man." When Christ came, he was legislating from another realm, though here. And he said, "My Father walketh hitherto I walk, and I do what I see my Father do." So he was there and he was here. But the moment Christ died, the Bible said, as he said, "It is finished," the garment that parted between the holies and the holies of holies parted into two, meaning that we can now come boldly and access God. It will no longer be for priests, but we all are royal priests, holy and acceptable unto God. So the devil dwelt also in Eden. Meaning, possible to dwell in God's presence and end up worse than the devil. Because many things can happen to you if you are in the presence. You can either change and be transformed, become familiar. There are people that from the last time God allowed them access to see certain things about his realm, familiarity set in. You know, the greatest form of contempt you can give towards God is to have attempt to walk spiritually with your life. When you are doing that, you are telling God that I am a worker of miracles, not you. That is rebellion to the kingdom that supplies you strength. You will discover how weak you are. So you have been in Eden. The devil has been in Eden from the beginning. That is the presence of God. Eden is not a physical location, but anywhere the glory of God dwells is Eden. We are in Eden right now. One of the things that makes hell is that people will suffer, but there is no comforter to comfort them. You see, to live outside is hell. Can you please change this? Amen. Amen. We're going somewhere. We'll see one of the reasons why the devil did what he did. But follow me closely. Now, verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God.
heavy precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of your tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that you were created. Okay. We were supposed to bring a board to church. I think they forgot to go and pick it. Because I will read scriptures that will show you the precious stone that God himself is made up of. And the precious stones that the devil is made up of. We want to list them and see how many does the devil contain. So let's check the Bible. All these things are in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 24. Exodus chapter number 24. If you are there, say amen. Tell him not to go, just wait. Exodus 24. Something happened in the scripture. God said to Moses, come and worship me, you, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders. Let them all stay away. You alone should come closer. Right. And it is important you note that those 70 elders are the same people that later became the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because a time came, the substance was gone, but the religion continued. So, finally God allowed them to eat with him. And in verse 10, the Bible said, and they saw God, the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, paved work of sapphire. One. Of sapphire stone. And as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. Upon the nobles of the children of Israel laid not his hands. So they saw God, and they did eat and drink. And God said unto Moses, come up to me in the mountain. Now, we have seen one. We're going somewhere. Follow me again to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. The sum total of that scripture was that a generation thought they have seen God. But God spoke to an individual, come up higher and follow me. By the time that individual came down from what he saw, those people who thought they had seen God could not look at that individual. God has a way of not revealing himself to those who walk in disdain. He doesn't allow his revelation come to men with dishonor. God is not hiding from you. He is hiding for you. And you need to prove that you are a man who values intimacy with honor. It takes honor to host God successfully. Not this attitude of praying and then going out to receive phone calls. And not this attitude of praying and then chatting at the same time. You can't host God that way. You will only see small dimensions and you will go out and boast with it till it is clear that you are empty. Now, Revelations chapter number 4. I read from verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up higher, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven. And one sat upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, another stone. The devil also has this one. Like a jasper and a sardine stone, another stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and inside like unto an emerald, another stone. And round about the throne there were 24 seats. Alright, and then so on and so forth. Another scripture, Revelation chapter number 21.
hear this, say amen. Now, there is a reason why I'm taking time to list out all these things. It will soon be clear. And when I tell you that reason, you will cry and you will pray. I will give you 5 minutes. You will cry to God. So this same thing will not happen to you. Alright. So, in Revelation chapter number 21, right, whenever you get home, you will see the architecture of the kingdom we are going to. Yeah. Some people are foundations, some are gates, and then so on. But don't interpret it physically. Whenever we get there, we'll be able to break these things down one after the other. These are orders of operation, not physical gate or physical foundation. Alright. Revelation 21, I started reading from verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The foundation was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third was chalcedony, and the fourth was emerald, the fifth was sardonyx, the sixth was sardius, the seventh was chrysolite, and the eighth was beryl, and the ninth was topaz, and the tenth was... We had different names, jacinth, and the anentist. Many stones were lifted in this scripture. These are stones that God used in making what is dear to him. Now, look up. In the case of man, what God did was that he formed man from the dust. That is his strength. In the case of the devil, at least scripturally, out of 10 of the stones that God describes about himself and of his presence, the devil alone has 9. So, he looked at himself and started asking, what does God have that I don't have? The devil has an inbuilt pipe. That was what the Bible described it as. He has an, from the day he was created, there was a pipe made with him. Meaning that the devil was more than a being, he was a musical instrument. It was the anointed cherub that covered it. It was the instrument of worship. The devil could give God worship. As a matter of fact, not all angels have will. We're going to be talking about categories of angels some other time. But the devil had a will. That's why he could decide to either worship God or rebel. Because, listen, anywhere will is absent, true worship cannot be present. You see, listen, worship flows when God sees you, that you have taken him as your priority. And God cannot be your priority if there's no conflicting opinion. There has to be something else competing for your love. So you can choose to either bow to God or you bow to Baal. So the devil was a person of beauty. God brought him closer to himself in beauty. He was strong, fierce, powerful. He was an object of glory to God. The devil was an angel of angels. He was the kind of angel called angel. He was no ordinary being. Now the question is this: how will God decorate a being with all this? And God is not careful about familiarity. Another question again: why will God give a being all this and he will still dare to rebel against the one who gave him? But the Bible says something entered his heart, meaning that a man is going to start declining when he starts seeing his own glory. No part of you can sustain it. You will maintain flying higher by continuously beholding the image of the Lord, like in a mirror, not yourself. Men begin to sink when they start looking at themselves. And this is, listen, hold on. This is the mystery behind the corruption of the prophetic ministry in Africa. Why men are called major and general when they are behind. It's because at some point
they started looking at themselves and their fluency in the operation, the gift will remain, but the power will back out. And many of you are looking for the time you start sewing clothes like military wear, and you walk into the church and they are calling you the general superintendent of prophetic ministry. You have started seeing yourself. Listen, when we get to heaven, those who will stand and rank high are those who labor for the kingdom, not those who labor for themselves. Because it is possible that a man is fasting and praying and he says, this is spiritual hunger, I'm hungry for God, and actually he looks on YouTube and see how they are idolizing men. These are not men of God, these are God of men. Let me tell you something. God is going to baptize you with so much glory, but the only way to maintain it is to be blind to it. No man can survive beholding his own glory. You can only survive beholding the image of God like in a mirror. So the devil saw himself. May you not see yourself. Whenever you start seeing yourself, you will abuse every investment of God upon your life. You will corrupt your office. You will become a tyrant. People will no longer become leaders but bosses when they see themselves. I said, don't you know I am the president of this nation? And they will give order out of impunity because they see themselves. You hear somebody singing and the fellow start hearing his own voice or her own voice and say, you know what, I won't show up for rehearsal. After all, if they don't see me, they can't do anything. And that is the effect of seeing yourself. You can't see yourself and see God at the same time. Can I get something colder? When you start seeing yourself, God steps behind. So, and wait for you to repent and begin to behold his image. So, what really happened to the devil was that at some point, because in heaven there is no such thing as a day came. There is only day and night when there is time. At some point, he looked at himself. He looked at the body of heaven. He looked at himself and he looked like at God. And he says, how are you better than me? Are there people in church who look at themselves and look at others? That's comparison. The Bible said they compared themselves with themselves and they became fools. But he was looking at the externalities. He said, God has decorated me with so much beauty, and then lifted his heart and said, I am God in my own class. Now that is the root of feminism. I'm your pastor. I have to tell you the truth. I have many of them. They are everywhere on social media. They are bitter people. What man can do, a woman can do better. That's the slogan of Igboro Christianity. You can't do better. You have to do what you have been called to do, and let man do what has been called to do. The devil is fabricating so many things. We have many Christian preachers who are sent, women who are doing Christian preaching for ladies, who are disciples of Adichie Chimamanda. You get what I'm saying? They are chronic feminists. The devil is helping you neutralize, dilute many poisonous things and introduce them to the church. Let me tell you the danger of feminism. You get what I'm saying? And I want to say this in all honesty and in all fairness. And I will say it doesn't matter the condition you
grew up from. All that matters is that you learn from this and then you be a blessing to the next generation that will be coming from you. Anywhere the mailman is absent, that place becomes cursed. The generation of baby mama we want to raise will raise vagabonds. Something dies in the life of a child that grew up without a father around. And that's why spiritual fathering was given because of the decadence in the family system. The devil saw how powerful the family is. He hijacked the family system. So God had to make a way out. There are no Christian boss ladies. You humble yourself. That's how to be lifted. Say, I'm a Christian boss lady. Boss. You are speaking like your daddy, the devil. Boss God. What happened to you? Was thrown down. Femininity, gender, not it should not take away the place of humility from us. You have to be careful. You don't pick your ideology from Facebook. You pick it from the scripture. So you not become part of the problem the church needs to deal with. Because a man is sum total of his ideology. So the devil began to look at himself. But we had more information here. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said this so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walk up and down in the midst of stones of fire. Meaning that the devil was a cherubim. Cherubims are no ordinary angels. The mighty beings. Ezekiel saw some of them. They had six wings. Cherubims are beings of humility. They have six wings. With two, they cover their eyes. Too only, they can't behold the glory of God. Too much for them to see. With two, they cover their feet. You see, when Solomon, and what's it called? Jonathan, gave David everything he was wearing. He didn't give David his shoe. It is the shoe that shows your status. When the prodigal returned from the father, the first thing the father gave him was his shoe. That is what indicates sonship. Meaning that when these beings are before God, nothing else matters, just God. At some point, the devil removed his own wings. He was seeing God. Meaning that beings that ought to just close your eyes because of the intensity of God's glory. At some point, he dropped his wings and looked into God's eyes. Who are you? Lifted up his heart. The word anointed there is the word, the kind of anointing that is captured in that word anointed is the word memshak. It is no ordinary anointing. It is the anointing for spreading. Meaning that the devil carried an anointing that any small thing he touches spreads. So, how was he able to converse to thought of the angels in heaven? The memshak anointing. Let me tell you something at this juncture. What God has given to you for the propagation of the kingdom is the first thing the enemy will attack. Because if gotten, it will work massively for his own kingdom. The things God has given to you that should point men to God, the devil will help you to point men towards yourself. Your hedge, your advantage. It is under attack. It will be perpetually under attack. See, you're going to put your right hand on your head and you will decree loud and clear. All that God has given to me for the propagation of his kingdom, may I not use them for my own personal greed. You will declare with strength and power. Ayababa.
Ramatej. That the only reason why they didn't succeed was because God gave them too much. Huh? God looked at them and bestowed giftings on their lives out of his benevolence. The gift made them become gay. Huh? Some of them, the gift made them become lesbians. Some of them, the gift took them utterly out of God. The devil will attack that advantage. The idea is to point soldiers like himself. You look at yourself and you ask, what is that one thing that God has placed on my life that is the edge that gives me the most important advantage in life? You will check that there is a consistent contention so that those things will not be used for God. The devil will not lure you to use it for him. He will lure you to use it for yourself. The greatest conflict you have, the person you have to choose from, between that fellow and God is you, not the devil. You will never choose the devil. The major object that is distracting you is yourself. The devil understands the power of self, so he hides behind self. He doesn't call men to himself, he calls men to themselves. The devil doesn't deceive. When Eve was going to take the fruit, he saw that the fruit was good for food, the mouth. Such that one can desire to make one wise. None of those things indicated the devil. The things you are doing are not directly for him, they are directly for you. The devil is nowhere in the equation. He supplies you to rebel against God. It is you. The most terrible fellow you have to fight till you see God in glory is yourself. That is why a man that takes win himself is stronger than a man that takes the city. You are praying for the anointing to take territories, but your own territory is unconquered. Your own territory. The devil is going to fight you through something called stronghold. It is a strategy to defeat men from the inside. They will preach, dead will raise up, but they will still go back and masturbate. Stronghold. See, I want to give you the next 5 minutes. Lord, give me victory over me. Deliver me from myself. Don't hand me over to myself for destruction. You pray this prayer with fervency. Deliver me from me. Rescue me.
Without you, Lord, there's no me. Without you, Lord, there's no me. Without you, Lord, Yahweh. There's no me. Without you, Lord, there's no me. Without you, Lord, there's no me. Without you, Lord, Yahweh. Without you, Lord, there's no me. Without you, Lord, there's no me. Without you, Lord, thank you.
finish. Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible never said no one can be against us. The only fellow who is strong enough is self. We want to look at, that's why we are looking at the functionality of the devil, the way he is. Because if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you will come back with victory. Look at what Jesus said in John 12, verse 25. He started from verse 24. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth fruit, more fruit." Verse 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal." And that's a very powerful scripture. Look up. Look up. The basic difference between carnal Christians and spiritual Christians is the degree to which they love themselves. You don't love God. There are few who do. And one of the ways to know men who love God is that they are not afraid of being the sacrifice. Let me break it down. Daddy Gio, that's pastor here at the way, said a statement to us in parables. He said, when you tell a baby Christian that God loves you, he will rejoice. Because God gives pleasant gifts to his children that he loves. Said, if you tell a mature Christian that God loves you, he will be sober. Because they that God loves, he chastises. He said, if you tell a bone breaker that God loves you, he will weep. Because that was the same love that God loved his only begotten son, that he gave him away. That God loves, he sacrifices. The reason why you are not effective for your generation is because you have chosen to live for yourself. The hour you spent indulging, if spent in prayer and the word, you will carry the anointing it takes to bring out a people. So those who are used for a generation are those who climb the altar of sacrifice.
But ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The degree to which you want to do the things that are pleasant to you alone is the degree to which you will not be useful. This is the secret of the kingdom. The reason why you are not accessing God's wisdom is because of this love for self. There is no temptation the devil lures man into that self is not the main beneficiary. He just benefits from it stylishly, but he presents it to you as you are the one who benefits. That's why you fall. People fall into fornication because it is sweet to their body. They feel satisfied. They enjoy the dividend of marriage outside marriage. But primarily because it is sweet. Don't seek for victory over the devil. Christ already defeated him. So how is this defeated soldier defeating you? Because you are the one who needs to be defeated now. I said something to them during YMR. Check. Do you think the only revival that has been is the Azusa Street revival? The reason why Azusa Street revival lasted and was maximized that much was because of brokenness. Many revivals had started, but the humanity of men will not let it last. They see that they become the god of the move. You see, the stronger the move God wants to use you for, the more he will make sure you are not seen. That's why I don't run any cat and dog race. It must be a race that he alone must be seen. Huh? How many great moves have started with people? But they broke out and broke in pieces. Everyone went separate ways because of the humanity of men. Pride. And this one will say, they didn't recognize me. Huh? I would like come as a president and sit in their midst, and they can't even say, let's stand up and recognize the president. How many people is the president of campus fellowship? He was privileged to enter because of politics, not even because he's doing fine. And you call for meetings, see campus fellowship president, they don't come. That's why they rarely become pastors outside campus. It is those members that used to become. Only few of them becomes. Because the fathers that should leave them, they saw them as colleagues. Only few. And the idea is this simple. What God gave to them pointed them towards themselves, not God. Their decline started. When you ask, where are the brothers that were hot and on fire on campus in those days? This was what killed them. Most of them, because they were leaders, failed to value relationships. By the time those people were becoming, their arrogance and pride would not let them run after somebody who was a member yesterday and say, please help me, I need a retreat. They can't pursue. They'd rather die in their arrogance. And they die untraceable. And the strategy is working well. Working really well. You. It is those who hate their lives that will lose it. You love finished product, but you hate process. It's a reflection of the degree to which you hate the one who proceeds, who process men. You hear what I'm saying? I told one of my boys, don't do ministry. Don't preach. Don't write anything. No social media for the next 21 days. If after the 21 days, I talk to you and I still smell flesh, you will start afresh. It is better that ministry is dying now so you can survive later than for the ministry to be thriving now and the minister will die. The lifespan of ministry is longer than the lifespan of the minister. Let me tell you a story that will buttress well this whole Bible study. There was a young man years ago. He was a mentee to my mentee. No. You know what I'm saying? So he had epilepsy. And they brought him to me and said, "Pastor, we know God can heal him." I was in church. Because in this ministry, God has given, by the grace of God, 100% record of anything around epilepsy or so, healing. So, as I wanted to lay hands and pray for him, the Lord said, "Don't." He said, "Clean the right side of his head." So I stretched my hands and I cleaned the right side of his head. When I cleaned it, he shook. I fell and was foaming and the spirit left him. And he was healed. So he started staying with me. Staying with leaders has both disadvantages and advantages. The advantage is to the degree that you will not be foolish. Because the closer you are to a river, that's the more you will lack water. Until the river is taken, then you notice that you didn't have reservoir. But those who are far will always come and have reservoir. You say, "I will always have it around." Now, I was transferred from the church I was to another church. So we left together. And there I was just a pulpit minister. And then Sunday school teacher. You get what I'm saying? Because if truly you are a servant of God, even sanitation should be as powerful as preaching. If what you want is that God should be glorified, you can glorify him there. But the pursuit of this thing called microphone will kill you. I know what I'm saying. Let me leave it. So, I noticed at one point that when choir member come late, he used to beat them. What kind of spirit is this? How will you be beating people in church? How will you be telling choir member to kneel down? What kind of spirit is that?
Okay.
Stop. Then he goes for evangelism and then they give him tomato. They give him pepper and fish and maggi and oil. What kind of evangelism is that? And he'll come back and make soup. Hey, at first I ate. But one day I said, "What am I eating? This is sandpaper, it will not digest." Because free food kills. I don't underrate the power of food. So a girl gave me one fantastic food some years ago. I opened the food, I said, "I was not trained this way. This food will have return match. I'm not eating." I didn't perceive anything, I didn't see any vision. Not, she didn't poison it, she didn't put anything inside, she didn't do anything. But there's a kind of food you will eat, you start liking the cook. So I said, "I won't bother eating." Yeah. You can laugh. All my boys used to laugh at me because. Yeah. So I said, "Hey, I'm not going to eat this food." One boy with me, he ate it. About 3 weeks later, they called him out publicly in church and suspended him because he started going after the cook. He couldn't control himself anymore. But by saying no, I escaped. I jumped and passed. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not till Jesus comes. So, I said, "I'm not going to join you in eating this fish again. And it is best you stop collecting these things. Go and preach the gospel." And just preach. Amen. So one day I saw the way he was preaching in church. I called him. And I said, "You know what? I feel there are a few things you need to work on.
you know, reduce this thing called like a stubborn head. Reduce this, you know, do this, you know, ask God, you know, we can pray together, but broken. I even put it in a more simple way. And he looked at me and said a statement, sir, with due respect, you are a minister and I'm a minister too. Let every man face their business and what they've been called to. So I said, wow. All right. That night, epilepsy returned. While he was sleeping, 3 times before daybreak, he jacked from his sleep. I was foaming. One of the reasons why lifting is dangerous is because you may begin to see yourself as equal to those who have been there before you. There is a point you will get to when you are being lifted that you may look equal to your fathers, but you are not the same. Long story, things happened. This thing breaks my heart whenever I remember. Painfully, it's not in ministry anymore. Gone. Don't ever let God remind you of where He picked you up from. I beg you in the name of God. I beg you in the name that is above all names. Go back. Pick your primary school pictures. Remember that there was a time you were looking at people at your current level as those that have made it. Here you are. If you don't increase your hunger, your satisfaction will kill you. God blessed the devil with lifting, but he taught himself to be equal with God. Jesus came and reamended that nonsense he did. Even when God made him to be equal with himself, Jesus did not take it upon himself, but he humbled himself to die the death on the cross. When God saw that humility, he blessed him with a name that is above all names. Jesus didn't take it. He didn't rob God to make himself equal to God. I have seen what pride can do to men. Proud people don't survive the effect of pride. None. God warned me. He said, son, pride doesn't go before a fall. Pride goes before all falls. Meaning that there is no fall you can't trace to pride. Pride is the necessary foundation for a man's back to be on the ground. I have been traveling in the place of prayer. And I shared with a few friends that this generation that I'm looking at, this generation is not ready for the move of God. The move of God will be strong to the degree that the main man God is using will decrease for him to increase. I can't overemphasize this fact. The more God wants to move through you, that is the more you will discover that the number one opposition to his moves is not the devil, it is you. The major agent that stops revival is the men who are trying to propagate the revival. It is either they start seeing themselves as beyond their real size. Many start looking down on people they've been called to help. That's why I want you to pray against self.
one more time. Lord, hold on now. How easy, look at it now, how easy is it for you to give yourself over to God? You may say, I do it. Well, the acid test, look at what Jesus said, the acid test that you are there to serve is the way you handle mammon. Mammon, this thing called money and convenience. That's the acid test. The way you love yourself. Many of us are so much in a hurry to prove to our generation that we are also succeeding. Cut corners, bend corners, do many things. You can't bet the realities of God that way. There must be a season of 10 days that you'll be lean. It is after 10 days you'll be 10 times better. That's the code for the Hebrew children. You cannot feed at the king's table and become the king. You can't defile yourself with his portion and become better. There is a generation of men that must separate themselves, exempt themselves. There are certain instructions that God has been giving to you. Look at the degree of time it takes to be able to say yes. You know, the most difficult statement to say is your will, O Lord. Christ said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass. Nonetheless, let your will. The will of God is tough, but it is for your lifting. His will can't be established until you get out of the way. The reason why things are the way they are is because you are still on his way. Get out of the way. Separate yourself. Say, Lord, I give up. Do what you want to do. Have your way. And that's the prayer I want to lead you to pray. That's the prayer. I step aside. Sorry to take your time a bit. Let me share a story with you. Look up. A man lost his wife when his daughter was just 3 years old. Daddy Joe shared the story with us. It taught me many things. And he decided that he would not get married to another woman because of the way he loved his wife. And so the daughter can be well taken care of. And he trained the daughter till she finished university education. When she was about getting married, he warned the husband, this girl is my life. Please take very good care of her. When people are in love, yes, sir. Yes, of course. Take good care of your daughter. A few months into the marriage, he started beating her. There's somebody listening to me now, your heart is beating because of this story. And your hatred or your fear for marriage. Fear doesn't produce the righteousness of God. So, at some point the man broke the leg and the hand of the girl. So the father went to the house and picked his daughter instead of the man killing her for him. The father refused to see the child's husband. The guy pleaded and pleaded. The father said no. And the father was walking in unforgiveness and resentment. So he became sick. And he started bloating, swelling up, swelling, swelling. I think he went to Daddy Joe for prayers. And the Lord spoke to him that there's somebody is here to forgive. The man cried and cried. There is a kind of forgiveness that will cause you tears because the pain runs deep. If you have not cried, you have not forgiven. You will have to bleed out those tears. Because the painful thing is that the people who did that thing to you, they are not even aware they have done something like that. They are talkers of their repenting. Nothing has changed. If you tell them you forgive them, they will just smile and say, what have I done? It is more difficult to forgive somebody who doesn't even know he has offended. But you have to forgive so you not be cheated twice. So he told the man, you will die if you fail to forgive. Just let go. So finally, the man asked that he should be driven to his daughter's husband's house. And the moment the guy opened the door, he embraced the guy. And the father was kind. And he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. And while he held the child's husband, he noticed that his ring, his wedding ring, fell to the ground. And what happened? He shrinked back to his normal size when he forgave. You will suffer. If you don't take self out of the way, you will suffer. Check the generation of men who do extraordinary things for God. They are men who didn't allow themselves to be the hindrance. You see, the generation you fail to sacrifice to be a blessing to, they will walk past you and ignore you. And there is a call on us. And that's the call, not just to get out of the way, but mount the altar of sacrifice. God will put you on the line, your ambition, your plan and journey, so a generation can be better. If God didn't put my ambition on the line, I won't be here blessing you. My father disowned me for over a year. I was supposed to relocate to UK. And he said, what kind of a child will allow himself that? Why didn't you tell us you want to be a pastor when we're spending money on you? Why now? You are a foolish boy. You must hate your father and mother to even be a blessing to them. But I still do. There's a part of the story I don't want to share. I have lost people because of this calling. You don't want to be a fool. That's why you are a fool. We are past time. But there's so much that God wants to do with you. But you have to die first. You have to get out of the way. So you will not become like the devil. And you have to allow him deal with you. The reason is because when the glory comes, it is important you are blind towards it. This money you are looking for will come, but you must never see it, because money is just tool for the job, not for indulging. Fame will come, but you must never see it. I am not famous to myself. I go to places and say, Pastor, thank you for blessing. I have never seen myself in that light. What are you talking about? Where have I got into? What do I want to do with my destiny? Two more minutes, you will pray to God. It's a very simple prayer. Here I am, Lord. Have your way. Let your will be done. Let your will be done.
Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Oh, Lord. Have your way.
For though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Son of goodness and mercies, follow me all the days of my life. Shalom.
Mashatisha. Everybody, it is a commitment we must make till we see him in glory. Hold on. God will cause the spotlight of heaven to shine on you, but it is necessary that you will refuse to let it get into your head. He will announce you, but don't hear your own announcement. Let the mouth of another praise you. See, it will bless you with finance. It will bless you with good things. But they are supposed to be tools for the work. Okay, the primary assignment is that the kingdom will be established. The devil missed it in between. More and more people are missing it. You thought it was a joke when I told you I sat down in my room. For 1 hour I was telling you, I embrace pain. It was dealings. I embrace pain. I will not run from the pain of the process. No. Mm-mm. I take it with tears. And I tell people I'm a man acquainted with grief. I'm not joking. Pain is a pathway until Zion travel. That's when she will bring forth you. The pathway to bring forth is to go through that travel. I don't run from it. It is the fire of making. It's the fire of, because if you are not made and you become, what you became, what you become will kill you. I had a young man, I wanted to give him platform and do many things and introduce him to all the people. I corrected him once and he rebelled. And God warned me. He said, I know your heart is good, but don't promote a man I want to process. You can't do ministry simply with good heart. You have to be instructed. Because in your good heart, you can destroy God's plan. It may be God's plan for somebody to suffer for a while, to learn obedience to the things which he will suffer. I don't bless the man. God needs to learn what it means to abase. This kingdom is not for guest workers. Let me lead you to pray one more prayer. We are past our time, but just one more prayer. Anything that would not let me become to full capacity what you want me to become, please deal with them tonight. Deal with them. And it doesn't look like him. God has manifested himself in me. Whatever doesn't show your grace, God is still reflecting in me. Father, I pray for your people. Pride will never set in.
we will never become too big for you to carry. What happened to the devil will not happen to us. We will not abuse dwelling in your presence. We will not get familiar with your glory. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' powerful name, we are prayed. God bless you. Celebrate Jesus.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to familylazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.